is the last chance to talk about this, and the next time we meet, it's after Christmas. But the fact that Christmas is on a Sunday this year gives us that one more chance to come together and consider the incarnation. So I use this opportunity as one last Advent perspective. I've entitled this Christmas Expectations, and want to think, what is it that we are to expect when we look upon Christ, that baby in a manger, in the beginning of his life in our flesh? And to do that, I want to use just the end of Zechariah's prophecy, particularly verses 76 to 79 of Luke chapter 1. We read that whole prophecy this evening as our New Testament reading, but I want to just consider that last little bit as Zechariah prophesies. He walks us through a very nice step-by-step set of expectations. He's speaking to John, but in speaking to John, he's speaking of the work of Jesus Christ. And so tonight is not a sermon, it's a homily, just a short look at this passage in the last moment and perspective of Advent for us at Affirmation. Let me read the text and then just make a few observations as we work our way through it. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Step by step, Zechariah works us through, in his talk to John, what we are to expect in Christ. And I want us to think about these in four steps and then ask, what does it mean for us? What are we to take from it? First, the first expectation according to John, or to Zechariah, is salvation. What the hope that is coming for Zechariah as he proclaims it to John is salvation at last. John, you will have that privileged role prophesied by in Malachi. You will go before the Lord of hosts, and you will prepare his way. A way for what? A way of salvation. When we think about Christmas and when we come together this coming Sunday, what we are celebrating is salvation. That's what's in that manger. That's what's in that cradle. Salvation in our flesh. So what does that mean for us? Christmas then tells us something, doesn't it? And we know it. All I'm saying to you are things you already know. What Christmas says to us is that we were in trouble. If Christmas is essentially salvation, then prior to Christmas, we were in trouble. If he's salvation, then we were in need of salvation. Something was desperately wrong. That's why we worship. That's why we come here Sunday after Sunday. That's why we gather here this evening, to worship him, because in him is our deliverance. And without him, we were doomed. And so Zechariah says, with joy in this prophecy to John, what you are to expect on Sunday morning is, first of all, salvation. How? Salvation from what? Salvation by what means? And again, Zechariah works us right through it. Verse 77, he will give salvation, the knowledge of salvation to his people. How? By what means will we achieve salvation? By the remission of their sins. Now, if we went back up earlier in Zechariah's prophecy, he talks about deliverance from enemies. And there's no doubt about it that when Jesus comes, he comes to fulfill all that Old Testament hope that Israel, knocked down by all these enemies, those who oppose the people of God, would one day be done away with. Even that prophecy in Malachi, they will be like ashes under your feet. That's a great hope, that all that plagues us will be done away with. But that is a secondary promise. That is the result of the first salvation, the essence of salvation. And the essence of salvation is the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus Christ brings to us. And therefore, again, Christmas tells us something. If Jesus is our salvation, and the salvation he brings is primarily forgiveness of sins, then what we learn is that the trouble we are in on the other side of Christmas, apart from Jesus Christ, the trouble that we are in is not ultimately with Assyrians, it's not ultimately with Satan, it's not ultimately with a sinful world. The trouble that we are in is with God. If it's forgiveness of sins we need, and that is the salvation that Christ brings and that we so desperately need, then our true enemy was God himself. We had made God, Almighty God, our enemy. We stood in opposition to him by our sin. And apart from Christmas, and apart from that salvation in the flesh, in that manger, apart from his work and the forgiveness of sins, brothers and sisters, we were doomed. And Zechariah works us through that expectation. We are to expect salvation. How? By the forgiveness of sins. And then he takes us another step. To give the knowledge of salvation to his people, verse 77, by the forgiveness or remission of their sins, verse 78, through the tender mercy of God. We might ask, okay, salvation is coming. We're to expect on Christmas Day salvation. How? By finally having our sins forgiven. But how? How am I supposed to get rid of the sin? And Zechariah speaks it by the tender mercy of God. By the free gift. What Christmas tells us is God came to us. He did not wait for us to come to him. That's what Christmas is, isn't it? That he first loved us. We love him, John says, because he first loved us. We run to him because he first came to us. He came in our flesh. What are we to take then from Zechariah's prophecy at this point? That it's by tender mercy, the tender mercy of God, that our salvation, that our forgiveness has nothing to do with our efforts. Our forgiveness and the salvation that we celebrate tonight, we celebrate in Christmas, we are right to worship that baby because it has all to do with him and nothing to do with you. Your salvation, the forgiveness of sins that I proclaim to you every morning, every Sunday morning in the assurance of pardon, and that I was privileged again to do tonight, has nothing to do with you. And that's what makes it so amazing, isn't it? That's what makes it amazing grace. It's not a partnership. It's not God helping those who help themselves. It is God acting according to his tender mercy alone. And by that mercy, taking you and me, the guilty sinner, and making us new, saving us and forgiving us our sin. It tells us that what Christmas is about is God not only loving his enemies, but forgiving them. And what it meant to forgive enemies meant that he would absorb our wrong. We sinned against him, and he would absorb it and not retaliate. Jesus Christ comes that he might absorb all our sin, to take all the offense upon himself, and he is Yahweh, and to bear that for us, so that he might give to his enemies grace and tender mercy. So first, salvation. How? By the forgiveness of sins. How? By the tender mercy of God. How? By the dayspring that is on high. Through the tender mercy of God, with which the dayspring from on high, verse 78, has visited us. And of course, this is a reference to Malachi's prophecy, that the day will come when the Son of Righteousness, as it is translated, the Son, S-U-N, that dawn, that dayspring, will shine upon us, even Jesus Christ. How will we have salvation? By the forgiveness of sins. But how will our sins be forgiven? By the tender mercy of God. How will the tender mercy of God be given to us? By Jesus Christ, the dayspring from on high. Why dayspring? Because he is the light of the world. He's the springing of day. He's the sunrise into a dark world. We're told that we are those who are dark in the shadow of death. That's the next verse. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. We, by nature, are those in darkness. Yet Jesus Christ, this gift of a baby, is the light of the world who shines into darkness. Finally, the Son of righteousness in a world in which there is none righteous, no, not one, Paul says. In that darkness springs light. And that light is Jesus Christ. And that light is righteousness. Finally, in Jesus, righteousness pleasing to the Father. Now, for sinners, when righteousness shows up, it can be a scary thing. And this is what's deceiving about Christmas, isn't it? Because it is a little baby, Jesus, meek and mild. Yes, but he is the Son of righteousness, come into darkness. He's the light of the world that the darkness rejects. He is this baby that the world finds so offensive. But to us, he's life. He's our life and he's our hope. And so what does the Son of Righteousness, the dayspring from on high, come to do? To judge? Remember, and we might have talked about Martin Luther, who, when he was reading the scriptures and he got into Romans chapter 1, and he taught, it says that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And Luther said, oh, how I hated that verse for so long. And you say, hate the scriptures, Luther? He said, I hated that verse. Because I thought to myself, in the gospel, in Christmas, though he didn't say in Christmas, but for us, in Christmas, the righteousness of God is revealed. The Son of Righteousness has arisen. He said, I hated it because in his righteousness, my sin is exposed. And by that righteousness, I know for sure I will be judged. But then, after much prayer and after much study, and finally by the grace of God, Luther said, I came to realize that that Son of Righteousness, that righteousness revealed in the gospel, was not just righteousness by which I will be judged, but ultimately it is the righteousness by which I will be saved. It is the righteousness that is freely bestowed upon me as a gift. When the dayspring from on high appears, will he judge the earth? Yes, he will, brothers and sisters, he will. And that will be an awful day. In Malachi, he's speaking about Christmas. And he says that dreadful and awful day of the Lord will come. Dreadful and awful? Yes. Because when righteousness comes into the presence of sin, the result is not good. Like a spark with fuel of fire. Explosion takes place. And Malachi warns of that day. But that's not all Malachi says. When the dayspring from on high appears, when that righteousness, the sun, comes into darkness, darkness will be judged, yes, but that's not all the dayspring from on high will do. He turns around after speaking of judgment. For he says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be like stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. And then verse 2. As I said before, one of the best words in all of the Bible is the word but. And it's here, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise, not with judgment, but with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That may not be what you're thinking of as a wondrous thing, to grow fat like stall-fed calves, but you know the point. You will prosper. Rather than judgment, the Son of Righteousness will come to you who fear the name of the Lord, who look upon that child in the manger as your hope, and who trust in him, brothers and sisters. He comes with healing for you. He comes to lift you up, not to judge you by his righteousness, but to bestow his righteousness upon you, to take you who are filthy and make you clean, to take you who are naked and clothe you by his righteousness, to take you who are poor and bankrupt of righteousness, and to fill you with all the riches of his grace. That's what he is to all who fear the name of the Lord. That's what we expect in Christmas. He has come to save us and to be our righteousness and to deliver us from that dark shadow of death. That's a wonderful line in the end of that prophecy that Zechariah gives, that he will come as light to deliver us from darkness and from the shadow of death and to lead us in the way of peace. We, who according to Isaiah, have not known the way of peace, but he will come and heal us, and he will make us new, and he will deliver us from fear. He will deliver us from that darkness. He will deliver us from death, and he will lead us in peace. This is what we're to expect this coming Sunday when we look upon Christ, and when we celebrate and when we worship the gift of salvation. How? By forgiveness of sins, that's how. By reconciliation with the Father, who we made our enemy. How? Only by the gift of his tender mercy. How? By the gift of the day spring from on high, that Son of righteousness, who comes to all who fear him, that is, who trust him, who lean upon him. He comes with healing in his wings to lift you up to the Father in the clothing of his righteousness. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we rejoice, for we know that we made you our enemy. We stood in opposition to you. We are the ones who said, not your will, Father, but our will be done. And it is you who brought us salvation, not by our works, but by your tender mercy. Through the day spring from on high, the Son of righteousness, who brought the beaming light, the brightness of righteousness into a sin-filled world of darkness. And you brought healing with him. And through that healing, you gave us the gift of the forgiveness of sins, that we might be made new. That though our sins were as crimson, Father, you have made us as white as snow through him. And you have delivered us from all our enemies, even death itself. For you have removed that shadow in the brightness of your light. And you lead us in the way of peace, a way we had not known, apart from the gift of Christmas and the gift of Jesus. And so we give you praise for it, O Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.